I'm Matt.
Hey, I'm Steve.
Hey, I'm John.
This is the Sober Friends Podcast. We're here for the sober curious, the new guy, and the old timer. We're here to talk about the stuff anyone looking to live alcohol-free has to face day to day, and how we overcame those struggles. We speak for no 12-step group, but we do try to remain anonymous. You're not alone. This is the Sober Friends Podcast. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Sober Friends Podcast, and I am welcoming you to Dry January. All of those of you who have decided you want to take a little break from alcohol. Now, a little bit about Dry January, if you don't know, and a lot of people do. It's a popular trend of abstaining from alcohol for the first month of the year. And it's not just a fad, it's a science-backed way to help improve your health, your mood, and your productivity. According to a recent Washington Post poll, and for everything that I'm citing here, we'll put a note in the show notes that you can find this for yourself. According to a recent article from the Washington Post, people who take part in Dry January report lower blood pressure, better sleep, more energy, clearer skin, and weight loss. They also save money, reduce stress, and gain a sense of achievement. In this episode, we're going to explore the origins of Dry January, the challenges and tips for sticking to it, and the long-term effects of reducing alcohol consumption. If you're curious about Dry January, if you're already doing it, we'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, at Sober Friends Pod, or the website soberfriendspod.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter or reach out via email. I love to hear from you. Make sure you are leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell us what you think. So a lot of you may just have heard the term Dry January. It's like New Year's resolution. It's just something that has happened. Don't know where it came from. It's just something that people do. It actually is something pretty well organized. So I'm going to tell you about the origins of Dry January. And we're going to take a look at the history, the evolution, the annual challenge of going alcohol-free for the first month of the year. How did it start? What's its impact? And how millions of people found success in Dry January. So this is all from alcoholchangeuk.org.uk. It's the group that started Dry January. It all began in 2011 when Emily Robinson signed up for her first half marathon in February. She wasn't a fan of running, so she decided to quit drinking in January to make the training easier. She noticed that she lost weight, she slept better, and had more energy for the run. But she also noticed something else. Everyone was curious about her experience in giving up alcohol for a while. So the following year, Emily joined Alcohol Change UK. It's a charity that aims to reduce harm caused by alcohol. She repeated her Dry January, and this time, even more people wanted to talk to her about it. She realized that this was a great opportunity to start different conversations about the benefits of taking a break from drinking, especially after the festive season. Inspired by Emily's story, Alcohol Change UK launched the first official Dry January campaign in 2013. So this is going to be only the 11th year, and it feels like Dry January has been around forever. They invited people to join the challenge and see how it affects their health and well-being. They partner with Dr. Richard DeVisser, an alcohol behavior change expert from the University of Sussex, to conduct a survey on the participants. He found that 6 months after the campaign, 7 out of 10 people had continued to drink less riskily than before. Almost a quarter of the people who were drinking at harmful levels before the campaign were now in the low-risk category. The campaign sparked a debate about the usefulness of giving up alcohol for a month. Could it really make a difference in the long term? Some skeptics argued that it was just a gimmick or that it could lead to binge drinking afterwards, but evidence suggested otherwise. In 2014, an article in the New Scientist reported that a month without alcohol could have positive effects on the body as well as on the mind. Professor Kevin Moore, a liver expert from the University College London Medical Center, said, quote, "What you have is a pretty average group of British people who would not consider themselves heavy drinkers. Yet stopping for a month alters liver fat, cholesterol, and blood sugar and helps them lose weight. If someone had a health product that did that all in 1 month, they would be raking it in," end quote. Dry January continued in popularity and reach, with more and more people, organizations, and media outlets joining and supporting the movement. In 2015, Alcohol Change UK partnered with Public Health England and created their first ever Dry January radio advertisements. In 2016, they created a Dry January app, and 14,000 people used it to track their progress and motivate themselves. Major pub chains also responded to the demand by stocking non-alcoholic beer during January. New research from Royal Free Hospital confirmed the benefits of a month off the booze for the concentration, sleep, blood sugar, blood pressure, and liver. I came in too late for Dry January. I got sober in March of 2014. If I had waited to get sober and I saw there was an app like the Dry January app that kind of gamifies quitting drinking, this is likely a way I would have gone. I would have been very interested in it because the app itself would have walked me through. I've used the app. I used it last year to just check things out, even though I knew I wasn't going to drink. But it would have been something to help motivate me, and it would have given me a jump start into a recovery program. I was not going to just get sober with just 1 month of being dry. But it is something that would have at least given me a head start and made me feel a lot better. By 2017, a YouGov survey showed that over 4 million Britons planned to give up alcohol in January. In 2018, 40,000 people signed up to take part in Dry January via the app and daily emails. Independent research by the University of Sussex showed that Dry January helped people to drink more healthily year-round. In 2019, Alcohol Change UK launched Try Dry, a new app that allows people to track their drinking throughout the year, not just January. This is also an app, if I was just getting sober, that would have really helped me. I would try and track my drinking because I was concerned about it. I was constantly doing tests online to see if I was an alcoholic. I do believe that these apps could be very helpful. And if you're just starting out, if you're just thinking about Dry January or thinking about being sober curious, man, I think this is such an awesome thing. Dry January now has become a global phenomenon with millions of people from different countries and cultures taking part every year. It's also inspired other campaigns such as Sober October, No Drink November, FebFest. I know there's also a Dry July. There seems to be some type of dry theme if you were to go on Instagram every month. Hey, anytime that there is an opportunity to get on the bandwagon to change your relationship with alcohol, that's a really good thing. And this has really helped the way people think and relate to alcohol. It's opened up new possibilities for a healthier and happier life. So let's take a moment here to talk about the benefits of Dry January for physical and mental health. Dry January can have a positive impact on your body in many ways. For an example, a study by the University of Sussex found that people who completed Dry January had lower blood pressure, cholesterol, liver fat levels, as well as improved insulin resistance and glucose regulation. They also reported better sleep, mood, concentration, and memory. Another study by the University of New South Wales found that Dry January could reduce alcohol dependence and cravings and increase self-control in confidence. So dry January may sound simple, but it's not easy. Many people face social pressure, temptation, boredom, or withdrawal symptoms when they try to quit drinking. That's why it's important to have a plan and a support system to help you succeed. Here are some tips from other experts to help make dry January easier and more enjoyable. Set a clear goal and track your progress. You can use the app like Dry January or Drink Aware to monitor your alcohol intake, calories, money, and health benefits. You can also share your achievements and challenges with others on the app or via social media. Find alternative activities and drinks. Break the habit in different ways. I remember years and years ago when I quit smoking, I had to find different places, different ways to drive, different activities to do to kill time, different ways. I was in college at the time, different ways to walk to my class because the walk and the cigarettes had come hand in hand. So you got to try different hobbies, sports, games to keep you busy and entertained. You can also experiment with non-alcoholic drinks such as mocktails, smoothies, or herbal teas. You can find some recipes and ideas on websites like The Temper or Club Soda. Seek support and motivation. You don't have to do this alone. You can join a community of like-minded people who are also doing Dry January. My good friend Jill Teets is doing Dry January with her sober community. You can find groups on Instagram, Reddit, Facebook, TikTok. You can also ask your friends, your family, or coworkers to join you or support you on your journey. This might be also a time that you might want to jump in and try an open meeting at AA. Remember, an AA meeting, your only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. And in January, you're desiring to be dry for the month. You can listen to podcasts. You can read books. You can watch videos that inspire you to stay sober. And Dry January is not just a one-off challenge. It's a catalyst for change. Research shows that people who do Dry January tend to drink less and more responsibly throughout the year, even if they don't stay completely sober. A study by the University of Sussex found that people who did Dry January in 2018 drank less frequently, less heavily, and less harmfully 6 months later compared to those who didn't. Another study by the University of Bristol found that people who did Dry January in 2019 had lower alcohol consumption and fewer binge drinking episodes 12 months later compared to those who didn't. If you decide to drink again after Dry January, you should do it gradually and carefully. You should follow low-risk drinking guidelines from the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, which recommend no more than one drink per day per woman or two drinks per day for men, and no more than four drinks per occasion for women and five drinks per occasion for men. If you are already drinking a lot more than this, it might be worth the thought that removing alcohol from your life is a really good idea. Because I look at that, and that's kind of the upper limits of moderate drinking. And to me, that's a small amount of drinking. One of the reasons that I don't drink anymore is it's just easier not to do it than to measure out, okay, I can have two drinks today, but no more than five on an occasion. All things that you should consider. If you're in that place after Dry January that you are looking to bring alcohol back in, you should avoid drinking on an empty stomach, mixing alcohol with drugs or medications, or driving after drinking. If you are on an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety medication, you absolutely shouldn't drink at all. It could affect you in a really bad way, and it's something you should talk to your doctor about. You can use apps like Drink Aware or Drink Less to help you track and reduce your alcohol intake. You can also seek professional help or join a support group if you have trouble controlling your drinking or if you think you have alcohol use disorder. That's going to be all for today on Dry January. We hope you learned a little something new and useful about this popular and beneficial challenge. To recap, we talked about the history and purpose of Dry January, the benefits for your health and well-being, the challenges and tips for doing it, and the long-term effects and how to maintain a healthy relationship with alcohol after January. How are you doing on dry January? Is this something that you're thinking of taking up? Have you done it in the past? Do you predate dry January and you're just going to stay sober anyways? We want to hear from you. How was your experience if you did this? What did you gain or lose from it? Do you have any tips or advice for others who want to try dry January? Let us know. Leave a comment, send an email, or reach out via social media. You can find us on the social platforms Threads, Instagram, Facebook, at SoberFriendsPod.com. You can go to our website, SoberFriendsPod.com. There's a link right there. Matt at SoberFriendsPod.com is my email. I read everything. I'll respond back. I'd love for you to leave a message or leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us some stars on Spotify. All right, next week, we're going to talk a little bit about how to stay in the moment and some tips from the perspective of people who have gone through AA that might help you through dry January. I hope you're going to stick with the Sober Friends podcast through this month to help get you through and change your relationship with alcohol. All right, until next week. Bye, everybody. You made it this far into the podcast. That tells me you're a pretty big fan. If you like what we do and you find value in the podcast, consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod. Your donation keeps us on the air to help out the new guy and helps us defray some of our costs. If you find value in our podcast, please consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod.